This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we'll be talking about the arts here in our community and how the arts impact our community in a positive way. And with us as a guest in studio, Lucy Langworthy from the MTSU College of Liberal Arts. And how are you this morning?
Great.
The arts here in our community. Talk a little bit about your role at MTSU and then also the Rutherford Arts Alliance.
Well, at MTSU, I am privileged to be in a position where I'm assistant to the dean, so I am able to create collaborations both on campus with the other colleges and off campus with the community. So we have a project going at Siegel High School, a Humanities Academy, and then being part of the Rutherford Arts Alliance is a big part of my job. Our dean is very committed to having both faculty and myself as part of the leadership.
And how important are the arts for a community like Murfreesboro?
We have a lot of numbers to tell us that they're very important because we participated in the Americans for the Arts Economic and Prosperity Study in 2022-23, and they measured what the arts were doing in our county. And there was a social component to it as well, not just what money it brought in, but what good it did to the community. And it gave us some numbers to put to that. So we found that it made $52.4 million, brought in that much in a year to our county. You know, we were coming out of COVID when that happened. It was a 68% increase over the last study of this kind, which was in 2017. So we were a little bit late getting the study done. It's usually every 5 years, but this time it was 7 years because of COVID.
Well, that's a big impact. So $52 million?
Yes, yes. And half of that, it's about half and half. Half of that came from the nonprofit organizations themselves and the money they brought in. And there were about 36 of those that participated. And we know we have many, many more than that in our county, but only 36 turned in their data. And then about the other half came from audiences and how they bring money in when they attend these events. And we even have those numbers. We know people spend about $31 per event if you live in the county. And if you live outside the county and you come here, it's more like $57 an event. And that includes the ticket. That includes going out to eat, maybe getting a babysitter. If you're from out of the county, getting a hotel room.
When you look at the arts, it covers a very broad range of different forms of entertainment, different crafts. I mean, it really is. There's a lot.
There's a lot. And ours is arts and culture. We make that very broad. It's a very broad swath of interests. In our case, we have 11 interest groups within the Alliance. They're not all as active as the other, but we have things like a lot of the history is important to us, and we've had the Center for Historic Preservation has been very involved in some of our efforts, but we also have culinary arts. We have, of course, the visual arts and the music and the dance and the theater that you would expect, but we have some of the other things as well, and it's almost been more than we can do. There's so much here that it has built to the place that we know we've got to hire someone to lead us. So we did get a grant at the end of last year from the Hayes Foundation in Nashville. And so we are in the process right now of interviewing for that, for our first executive director. It will be a part-time position, but we hope it will eventually evolve into a full-time.
Again, Lucy Langworthy in studio with us this morning. When we look at the Rutherford Arts Alliance, it's an organization that has been here for, what, five years?
5 years in December, yes.
You have got a lot of different goals and whatnot outlined for the years to come. What are some of the things that you hope to accomplish?
Well, we would like to certainly increase our volunteer base. We have about 80 members now. We had many more people attending. We have meetings like four a year for our membership to get them involved. And we had probably a lot of the 80. We really had more than 80 before COVID. So we would like to boost that number somewhat. We would like to get more volunteers involved, because we need them. We have so many events in our community that are arts related. And our board is all volunteer, obviously, and we can't do all of the events that are out there because we have so many. So we'd like to do that. We have a sculpture that we have, one of the professors at MTSU has helped us create, and it's a heart to indicate we're the heart of Tennessee. And it's a bronze sculpture, and we think that that will go through this year and get installed, hopefully at the Discovery Center. that's in the works right now. So that's a big goal of ours. We would like, and this is a sort of down the road goal, we would love to find a performing arts building. We would like to have a bigger community arts building that we could share with some of the other arts organizations. I know the Center for the Arts is a big partner of ours, and they need more space. And so everyone turns to that. If we're going to build much beyond now, we've got to have a place to perform.
When you look at things like sculptures in the community, you know, that's one area where I think a lot of people would say we could use more sculptures throughout our community.
Yes.
How could we go about getting more sculptures and trying to figure out a way of making sure that we do just that?
Well, we have one of the first things we did when we were organizing is we worked with the city on how to create where those things can go. You know, murals, not public art, all public art. So there is a guideline for that. So we would just work, you know, if someone wanted to do something like that, they need to contact us. I would say we have a very active, a very up-to-date website, and it's RutherfordArtsAlliance.org. And they could contact one of us and give us their idea, and we would try to help them put it into place because we know the guidelines we have to go by to do that. And we would welcome it very much so.
Murals are one of those things that have always been popular, but I know some murals are much more popular than others. You know, you go to places like, well, even Nashville, for example, they've got those great big wings, which tourists, they flock to it.
I love it, yeah.
And there's a line where maybe 50, 60 people deep just to take a picture next to it.
Yeah.
How could we create more things like that here?
That's what we're really trying to do. Our tagline is connecting creatives with community. So it would be a place where a person that has an idea, and if there's someone out there listening to this, if they have an idea, they bring it to us, and we will try to make, we have some volunteers, we know some people that can do this, even if they're not the person that can do the painting themselves, we have those people that we know can. So if they have a concept that they would like painted, we could put them in touch with those people that could do that. And then we could give them the guidelines to meet the standards of the city about where it can go and that kind of thing.
Organizations like the Center for the Arts, as an example, a lot of them have nearly outgrown or are indeed outgrowing their facility.
Absolutely.
And I know you mentioned a little while ago the idea of having a large performing arts type center. How can we make that happen? Are there funds available through the state that could pay for something like that?
We have been told that there are some. I don't think that they're complete. You know, it would cover all of it, but it would be a very good start. And so it would just require the people that are interested coming together. We've had a meeting when this Rutherford Arts Alliance started back in 2018. There was a meeting of those kind of people at the chamber with an architect. I mean, he had an idea. But I don't know, it sort of lost its, I guess COVID happened and it lost some of its momentum. So it would be getting those people back together with some of our state representatives that have access to that money. So we go to the Arts Advocacy Day every spring, every March, and talk to our legislators about this. And so we've just got to get moving on it because I feel like there is some money right now to help us.
And it is interesting because all of this got underway, of course, 5 years ago, right at the start of COVID.
It did.
So what a time to start.
What a time to start. But interestingly, it was a good time to start because we were able, with the arts, to show people how the arts can sustain you through tough times. So we did a lot of things through social media. We would get on social media and give people creative projects to do. And so we even did a workshop with a counselor for it was online. It was remote, but it was for artists who are very isolated during that time, and so how to keep their craft and their creativity going during COVID. So we really did help. I feel like
arts in general, it is therapeutic. If you're participating in the arts, that's therapeutic. If you're watching the arts or you're walking through an art gallery, there is therapy there in a lot of ways, and it does help a lot of people. But outside of that realm, it also draws businesses, corporations into our community.
It does. Absolutely does.
Now, are there studies done? Because I know you talked about how it brings in X amount of dollars. Are there studies done that show if we had more of the arts in this category, it would help lure in more big companies that would create more jobs?
I'm not aware of those. They're probably out there, but I'm not aware. I know the chamber talks about anecdotally, but that when they talk to businesses that are thinking about relocating here, they often do ask, what's your arts community like? You know, they do look for that.
If we had a large performing arts facility, if the money were available, would you be able to build some type of art gallery within the actual performing arts
Absolutely.
Center?
Absolutely. That is one of the biggest needs we have, an art gallery. You know, we have the Church Street Gallery, and I know I work with Eric Snyder, who is part owner of that at MTSU, and he talks about how few places we have in Murfreesboro to display art. I mean, some restaurants are even doing it. I mean, you know, people are trying to get involved because we have a lot of artists that want to display their producing art, and obviously they want to share it.
History, that's something else where the arts play a big role. Is there an avenue to somehow bring historic arts into our community by, I don't know if we had a museum that focused on art history or focused on art of the past?
Well, I think that's pretty much what the Historic Preservation Center tries to do through MTSU. And our public history program at MTSU brings in so many good students trying, you know, working toward a master's or a PhD. We have a PhD in it. And so that in itself brings a lot of those kind of that mindset to our community of preserving the arts and what it does to know where we came from. And there's so many jobs in history that people don't understand. You don't have to just teach it. And we are very fortunate at MTSU. I've been told by people from other parts of the state that our program at MTSU is the best in history because we have that PhD in public history.
Events like the Borough Art Crawl have been quite popular, mm-hmm. and they've proven to be one of those things that people ask for it back year after year. How can those events help to bring in not only maybe more artists or bring more local artists out of the woodwork who maybe folks don't know about here locally, but how can we do more events like that and bring in more folks like tourists?
We're going to have to get more volunteers. We simply don't have the number of people to work more events. You know, we are sort of at capacity, I would say. So volunteers, we drastically need more volunteers.
The Ghost Light Studio, then you have the Rutherford. I mean, I could go on and on. There's Murfreesboro Little Theater. I mean, there's just so many different things that are art related here in our own backyard. But sometimes people don't realize that and they'll travel to another city to see artwork.
Well, we had those that you just mentioned, they were part of a theater crawl. So we were having a theater crawl is just like we have an art crawl. And it's usually at Oakland's Mansion, and different theater groups will do sort of a one act or just a small part of something that they're doing, and we can see a lot of them all at one time. So there's quite a bit of theater also in our community. Dance, we had the Dance Proclamation Day this year where we recognize what dance can do to bring people together of all diversity types, different kinds of dance.
The Tennessee Valley Winds are performing this coming Sunday at Oakland's Mansion, mm-hmm. and that's one of those events where it really does bring that history, the history of Oakland's Mansion, in with the performing
right.
arts and music. Those types of events are really fun, and a lot of people do attend those things.
They do, and Oakland's Mansion has been incredibly supportive of us. We've had many of our events there. And we partner with them on many things. And you're right, bringing in the history along with the arts is sort of a magical collaboration.
I know we have different live musical events in downtown Murfreesboro, like Friday Night Live. Mm-hmm. But is there a way to have a permanent outdoor amphitheater built somewhere, maybe in the downtown area even?
I think there is. I mean, you know, there've been some talk about some, I've heard there's been talk about an amphitheater going out on Medical Center Parkway as well. I don't know if that's still in the works or not. I mean, that's pretty close to downtown. But then I've also heard about the Keystone Project. I don't know if there's any way that there can be an amphitheater or not just any kind of arts building associated with that, because there seems to be some room along that corridor that we could add some more arts. And that's what we would love to see. The Discovery Center is sort of at the starting place for that project, I believe, and they're very supportive of the arts. They really, you know, while they're a science museum, they're trying to become more of a STEAM museum, and they're very supportive of the arts. Tara McDougall has helped us a lot.
Again with us this morning, Lucy Langworthy from the MTSU College of Liberal Arts, and we're talking about the Rutherford Arts Alliance. Go back and kind of highlight how many different organizations, how many people are involved in the Arts Alliance.
I would like for it to be a faster growing membership than it is, honestly. Like I said, we have about 80 members right now, and to join, and we have different levels of membership. If you're a student or a senior, it's just $15. If you're an individual, it's $25 for the year. If you're a family, it's $40. If you're a business or an organization, a nonprofit that wants to join, it's $100. And you can join by going to our website, and there is a link for Get Involved, and you can do it all online. You can pay online. You can join online. And we would love to have more people because there's so much out there we can do. We have a lot of partners. We just don't have enough volunteers.
You know, I do love how you're able to bring different art-related events together, like the culinary arts, and then mix it in with having some type of photography display in the same area, and then having a musical event. But that happens a lot, where you have multiple artists and multiple art venues just all come together.
Absolutely. We have an art show going in right now at the Center for the Arts. They have a display area, a gallery that they allow us to have. But, you know, right after, you know, you go into that gallery, you can go into the theater and see one of their productions because they have those going on at the same time. And so, yes, that's sort of the best combination when you can put several together. You have the art being displayed, but you go walk into the theater.
How does the Rutherford Arts Alliance fit in with our local schools, like high schools?
Well, we do have an interest group that is K through 12. And so the person that is at central office for the schools is Lindsay Halford, and she's very helpful to us too. She is one of our interest group leaders. So that's considered an interest group, the K through 12 education. And so we do partner with them to do some, you know, like allowing the students' art to be displayed. We may have some showings just for the student art, and also for musical performances too. We try to give them opportunities to do that. We would like to do more of that. We have a very good partner in Lindsay to get that started.
Again, Lucy Langworthy with us today. We are going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll learn even more about the arts here locally. Right now, the time is 8:40. We're going to pause to take a look at the weather and also the traffic. We'll bring you up to date on both in just a minute.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
CBS News Brief. As his former fixer, Michael Cohen, takes the stand for cross-examination at his hush money trial, former President Trump will be surrounded by allies again, CBS's Robert Costa.
Notably, House Speaker Mike Johnson will be here today, according to sources close to the Trump campaign. That's the highest-ranking Republican so far to appear alongside Trump here in New York.
Severe storms and twisters have killed at least two people along the Gulf Coast. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
A tornado hit western Louisiana, damaging homes in Sulphur. And storms across the state deliver winds up to 80 miles an hour.
In the Middle East, an Israeli helicopter launching missiles near the northern border with Gaza, the UN reports. More than 500,000 Palestinians have been displaced in north and south over the past few days, amid fears of escalating Israeli military operations. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Spend your middays with us, Rick and Bubba. We're on WGNS each weekday from noon till 2 on News Radio WGNS.
We invite you to a special concert this Sunday at Oakland's Mansion. The Tennessee Valley Winds, a volunteer wind ensemble in Middle Tennessee, will perform at 5 p.m. This concert's brought to you by Shell Brothers Homes.
We create happy homeowners at Shell Brothers Homes.
The concert this Sunday at Oakland's Mansion features music from Lady Miserable, Harry Potter, Glenn Miller, and more. Learn more about the Tennessee Valley Winds performing this Sunday at Oakland's Mansion by visiting tmvalleywinds.org.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:44, and once more you're listening to WGNS on this Tuesday morning, and our guest today, Lucy Langworthy from the MTSU College of Liberal Arts, and we're talking about the Rutherford Arts Alliance. And Lucy, again, at the beginning of the show, you talked about really how much money the arts help to bring in to our community each year, and that figure, it was, what, over $50 million a year?
$52.4 million, yes.
That's wild.
Yes, it's a lot of money.
that helps out.
Well, and they calculate that about like how $1 can just bring in more and more. Like if you spend money if you're a theater and you're going to buy paint at the hardware store, then that person has to be hired to sell the paint. They count a lot of things in that, what that brings in. It provides money for that job. And then that person goes out and spends money at a restaurant to go to a theater performance. So, you know, it's a widespread way of looking at what it brings in, but it's very comprehensive, and it's very personalized to each community, the way they calculate it, because, you know, the dollar in Murfreesboro is not the same as the dollar in Los Angeles, so they do customize it to our place.
How is Rutherford County doing when it comes to the arts? How are we doing overall when it comes to the arts?
Well, I looked at this Americans for the Arts study, surveyed 373 communities across the United States. They do every state. So it's the most comprehensive study of the arts. And so I looked within our state. I thought it would be the most comparable to look within our own state at a town close to our size, and that was Chattanooga. And we are doing very well, very comparable to them, except with the amount of, you know, people that we involve, because they have a more developed arts district in downtown Chattanooga. So, and they also have more people on staff. So they're a little bit ahead of us in their paid staff and that kind of thing. But for the size of town that we are, we're very close to what we bring in as they are. So I felt pretty good about that.
Hey, and of course, Rutherford County is growing like crazy. Supposedly, we're going to have around 500,000 or so residents.
Yes.
And that's probably going to happen within the next 10 years, which is hard to believe, but we're definitely headed that route.
We are. And that's why, once again, I've said it 10 times on this show, is that we need more people to help us connect those people to the arts that they want to be a part of.
Do the amount of grants that are available in the state increase as our population increases?
Well, yes, I believe so. We have already, I think last year we got $64,000 in grants and donations, and we've already received $30,000 this year from the National Endowment for the Arts. So there are four or five very good funding opportunities out there for us in the arts, specific to the arts. And so we don't have enough time to write the grants, because most of us work and, you know, also do this as a volunteer, on a volunteer basis. But if we had, you know, that's my background, actually. My background is in grant writing. So if I had more time, I could get more involved in that. But some of the other people on our board are attending seminars on grant writing so that they can help with that as well. So really, the money, I feel like, is out there. We just have to have the time to write the grant and pull together all the information they want to apply.
When you examine all the different types of arts, from cooking to theater to painting, photography, and so on, is there an area that stands out more so than another, or are we a little off kilter in one division versus the other when it comes to art? Is there an area that we need to grow more in?
Well, our literary arts have been very active in our town, I would say. and our visual arts, as you would expect. Most people think of visual arts first when they think of art, and it's very active, yes. Our music is very active as well, and theater and dance. I would say those are probably the most active. The culinary arts, not so much right now. So that is certainly an area. We had fashion as one of our interest groups at one time, but that one has sort of died away as well, because you have to have leadership in each of those roles. And so when people leave the or their jobs call them away and they can't do that, the volunteer, then that particular area languishes a bit. So I would say those are probably some of the areas that are not as active right now.
And I'm guessing some arts grow faster than the other one, you know, year after year, because things change in popularity, you know?
Yeah, they do. Absolutely.
So that would make sense.
Murals are, you know, that was the interesting thing. When we first started this, murals just took off. And so people were wanting to do murals. The very first thing we did was that mural at Vine Street. And we could do more of those because that's a very popular thing. Like you say, right now it's very popular to do murals.
There was a time not too long ago where it would be really hard to get a mural painted in Murfreesboro because you had all these different sign ordinances.
That's
and
right.
At one point, a mural was counted as just a regular old sign.
Yeah.
And it was hard to actually paint a mural in town, but that's changed. And part of that's because of leadership within the Rutherford Arts Alliance saying, hey, you know, this is more than a sign. This is not just an advertisement.
No, it brings beauty, but it also brings people together, because when we did that very first one at Vine Street, there were children that came out and painted. Norris Hall did the actual design, but we all filled it in with paint. So you didn't have to be an accomplished painter to come out and do that. And that's true of many of the murals. And so it brings the community together. And that's a beautiful thing about it.
While some towns have huge art districts, Atlanta, Georgia, for example, they've got several different art district type areas. Do you think there's a chance we could have a specific art district that really stands out above other communities?
Well, I would love to see that happen. Like I said, I would love to see it be part of that Keystone project. You know, that's an opportunity because, we're in the planning. I think the city's in the planning process of that. I think that's a good place to start, and we would like to be a part of that.
Is there a thought about going to developers and saying, hey, I know you're about to build project XYZ. It's going to be a shopping mall. It's going to be a hotel. But we would really like to see a small art gallery built within this new project. Can y'all do that as the Arts Alliance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we probably currently have people doing that right now.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And if we had more just, I don't know what you'd call micro studios or micro display areas in new buildings, new structures, new government buildings.
That's right.
It would stand out.
Absolutely. It would. So that's what we would like. We would like to encourage more collaborations like that. We're open to almost any kind of collaboration, honestly, where art can be a part of it.
When you look at school and you look at teenagers, art has saved a lot of them and changed the direction of someone's life over and over again, because you have, let's say, for example, a troubled teen who's on the wrong path, but yet one art teacher says,
absolutely,
try painting something, try
absolutely
painting this, and then it changes their life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We see it with music. We see it with dance, art, of course, too. Writing does the same thing. And so we are trying to reinforce that with this at MTSU with this Humanities Academy that we have at Siegel High School. We're trying to let the students know. We're bringing in our alums to let them know what kind of jobs you can get with the arts that are very fulfilling, not only with bringing in a good income, but of course very fulfilling, because that's something that really reinforces who you are if you're an artist. So that's one of the messages we're trying to get out to not only students, but also to their parents, because they're very concerned always if their kid goes into art, you know, that they'll have a livelihood.
I wonder, is there a way to tell that story of how one child turned his life around in some way because of art?
Well, yes, I'm sure there are many of them out there. We would just need to try to capture those, and maybe we would love to do that, put it on our website. You know, we have a blog on our website with different interest groups. We could do that. We have a place to do that already plugged in on our website. So we could, if anybody has that story out there, we would love to tell it.
One of the big fears of today's times is AI taking over every industry out there. But there's one area that I don't know that AI could ever really take over, and that is being creative. Of course, yeah, you could have a computer that is made to be creative, but you couldn't have a computer with that personality to take on whatever it wanted to and then turn something into a artwork.
Well, I think that that's something that most teachers now are dabbling with into, to see what part can AI have to maybe free us up to do, you know, maybe it can do this little part over here to free us up to be more creative. And there are times when, I mean, I've heard even art professors say, well, I had to write something and I used, you know, AI to help me because it did pretty well. But then that gave me more time to go work on my sculpture or my, you know, something more creative. And that's really the message we're trying to get out to a lot of our students now, is that with AI, these skills that we have in the humanities are more important than they ever were. It's not that they're going to go away. It's they're going to be more important because those are the things that AI cannot replace, the people skills and the creativity. It can do some creative things, but not to the extent that a human being can.
Do you foresee in the near future any big events being planned here in Rutherford County that are, let's say, similar to the Tennessee Crafts Fair in downtown Nashville, or, well, downtown Centennial Park area? Do you foresee having anything that big here locally?
I think we can, absolutely. You know, we've had the events in the past. I know when I first moved to Murfreesboro, we used to have some craft fairs like that.
I remember the Street Fest.
The Street
Fest. It was huge.
Yes, it was huge. And so I don't see why that could not happen. It just takes the person to organize it. And we work a lot with the downtown Murfreesboro organization, and they're great to work with. And they've done some events. They're doing events all the time, so we like to partner with them.
And, of course, speaking of downtown Murfreesboro, we have the Friday Night Live concert series coming back. And I know we looked that up during the break, but June 7th.
June 7th, that's right.
First concert of the summer.
That's right. And then June the 8th is Simply Smyrna. Now, it is an event, kind of what you're talking about, in Smyrna, where it's a lot of different kinds of crafts are out there in Smyrna, in the Depot District. They have quite a well-developed arts district, smaller, but it's very good.
And Smyrna's done a great job.
They've
with
done
that
a great
Depot
job.
Area.
They have. And so that's on the 8th. And then the Juneteenth celebration will be coming shortly after that. And we're very involved with the Juneteenth thing as well.
I know there are things that happen in Laverne, but not as much as you see as, for example, in Murfreesboro and Smyrna. So how do you get those in Laverne to get more interested in the arts and want to be a part of it?
What we did when we first started is we started having our meetings in different parts of the county. So we had a meeting in Laverne, and the Laverne mayor spoke, and we had people, I think we were at the library. And so that's what we started out trying to do. But again, COVID happened. So we've got to kind of get back to that idea of having some meetings in different parts of the county. And because there are pockets of creativity and artists in all of those areas, we've just got to go to them, I think, to start with. And we'll have to kind of revisit that. Our new executive director, we're going to look to that person as being someone that can sort of regenerate and take us to the next level, hopefully. We've got some very good ideas about how to grow, and that would be one of them. We want to involve more parts of the county. We don't want this just to be, it's Rutherford County Arts Alliance. It is not just Murfreesboro or Smyrna. And so Eagleville has a lot of creative people there, a lot of musicians, and we would like to tap into that.
Again, Lucy Langworthy, our guest today, and we're already out of time, but as we close, how can people learn more about the Rutherford Arts Alliance?
I would say go to our website, rutherfordartsalliance.org. You can see what we've done in the past. There's a lot of our events have pictures there. You can also find how to get involved, how to join if you want to. There's a blog there of some things that have happened most recently. So we would love to get more people involved because we know we have a very vibrant arts community. and we would like to welcome more people to enjoy that.
Sounds great. Again, Lucy Langworthy with us today from the MTSU College of Liberal Arts and part of the Rutherford Arts Alliance, an organization that has now been, let's see, in existence for 5 years.
5 years. That's
so
right.
A million more years to come.
A million more.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Time right now, 8:59. We're up against the 9 o'clock hour. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming your way next on WGNS.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.